And good morning, NASCAR fans. Welcome to Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain back here with you, waiting to get back to NASCAR racing. And we'll be doing that before we know it with Watkins Glen coming up soon. But some big other news to talk about on the NASCAR front as well. You got a bunch of silly season moves and news that we'll talk about later in the show. And of course, that big victory by Eric Almirola in the Fox Woods Resort Casino 301 at New Hampshire. And Brandon, what a interesting, crazy race this was there at New Hampshire, shortened by 8 laps due to darkness, due to not having lights there at New Hampshire. Eric Almirola races the front and beats Christopher Bell, who was charging hard there at the end of the race, and not a lack of excitement at the beginning of the race either, as on lap 6, some guys that would have been very competitive throughout the race, Kyle Busch and Martin Truex, wreck in going into turn 1 because of a downpour that started in the middle of the race. The race was started under misty conditions. Busch ends up finishing 37th, Truex 12th. So just all around a crazy race that shook up the playoff picture. Eric Almirola being able to outlast Christopher Bell there and grab the huge victory at New Hampshire, his first of the season, and punching his ticket into the NASCAR playoffs.
Yeah, PJ, I mean, hey, man, the whole thing was that win totally shook up the whole playoff picture. You know, for a guy that was, I think he was sitting right around 27th in points to come out and get that win there at New Hampshire. It really shook things up. And the crazy thing is it wasn't like it was a fluke or a luck win. You know, you lucked into it. I mean, Almirola brought some equipment, man. I mean, they were hooking up and flying around New Hampshire. So, you know, big shout out to Eric Almirola, especially after the dismal season that he's had up to that point, to go out and kind of perform the way that, you know, I'm sure every team feels like they can, but to actually go out on a Sunday and get it done, man, that big shout out to him. But I don't know what NASCAR was thinking getting that race started there in New Hampshire the way they did. You know, trying to get it under green flag, knowing, you know, having to know that the rain was coming. And as you alluded to, I mean, it took out probably two really good cars that probably would have been up there for contention, especially after you look at kind of where Denny Hamlin was at there for a while, and then watching Christopher Bell, you know, come on there late in that race and just really have, if not the best, you know, one of the best cars out there right there in the last 20, 30 laps. So, it was kind of a bad call by NASCAR. If you want my honest opinion on it, they probably should have held off and just started it when it finally restarted from the rain. What a great race, man. New Hampshire is so awesome. I mean, you know, the thing that I loved about it was just the fact of, you know, one guy would pass another guy and then that guy would come back and take the air off of him. And, you know, it's just back and forth racing for a position for a couple laps, you know, quite often through the race. And we don't get that at a lot of places that we go to on the NASCAR circuit, you know. So big shout out with that. Now, if we can only talk, you know, Bruton Smith into putting some lights there at New Hampshire, man, I tell you what, a night race there, the one race a year that we go there now, night race would be pretty freaking awesome there at New Hampshire, man. But yeah, I mean, there again, you know, just a lot of good contenders, a lot of good guys, man, but that playoff bubble got shook up big time, and it looks like now we're going to have two RCR guard guys, you know, between Tyler Reddick and Austin Dillon fighting it out to see who locks themselves into that bubble position right there in 16th place, man, as we wind it down with 4 races to go. And, you know, don't count out somebody like Kevin Harvick maybe even missing the cut. I mean, he's got a pretty good, you know, point differential there in 4 races. But, I mean, we also have a restrictor plate there where the regular season ends at Daytona, and we all know anything can happen. So if he comes out to one of these last 4 tracks or last 3 before Daytona, has a bad run, has an accident, wipes out, finishes down towards the bottom, and those RCR guys have a, you know, couple good runs, you could be looking at a guy like Kevin Harvick missing the cut, man. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this plays out and, you know, what kind of strategies these teams that are very close to making the playoffs or on that line do, you know, here coming up in these 4 races. A lot of them have got to win. You know, Matt Benedetto, quite a few other guys have to win to get in. But I tell you what, man, that's going to be the race to watch here in the last 4 races, see who ends up in and who ends up out of these playoffs this year.
Yeah, so many entertaining races left throughout this regular season, and really that could be the biggest wild card. We could see some surprising names left out of the playoffs. Kevin Harvick, one of those, if we see certain finishes and some, again, wild racetracks left, including Daytona, which is certainly the wild card there in the cutoff race. And you look at this race win by Eric Almirola, I think insanely impressive just because you look at where Stuart Haas was all year, and whether this was a sign of them getting things together or just a really good car on a given track, on the perfect track, Eric Almirola was able to race his way up and hold off Christopher Bell to be able to get that victory. An impressive feat of driving and an impressive car there on the racetrack. We haven't seen that from Stuart Haas in quite some time, especially here in 2021. So three more playoff spots remaining, and really one of those locked up with Denny Hamlin with his points lead. Obviously, he's not going to drop all the way down to 16 by any means. So, it's been wild, and did that race one of the more interesting, crazy races we've seen in a long time. And I will be right there with you, that hoping that not only New Hampshire thinks about getting some lights for maybe a night race. That would be very entertaining, I think, very fun with that style of racetrack. But just so we don't kind of have to see this situation again where that was one of the oddest things I've heard, is just NASCAR coming over the radio and saying, all right, from here on out, 10 laps to go, we got to get this race over, knocking eight laps off the end of the race, and then of course the way it started. And I saw some explanations, I saw some conversations from NASCAR about, you know, we've raced in some misty conditions before, we didn't expect it to turn from mist to rain that fast, but at the end of the day, it's Mother Nature, and it's unpredictable. It can do that type of thing. And when you're dealing with race cars going 120 to 180 miles an hour there at New Hampshire, that's just something that I wouldn't want to see them toy around with by any means or take chances on. And I think they took a chance, and I think we saw, you know, what happens when you take a chance in a situation like that and kind of see what Mother Nature does. It changes really quick. Rain starts falling on turn one, and before you can get the race slowed up, Kyle Busch and Martin Truex are taken out of a race that they should have been very competitive. So tough to see there from NASCAR and from that situation, but good to see a big victory by Eric Almirola, shaking up the points a little bit and making things even more interesting and exciting for the rest of the season. Very notable here as well, Penske finishing third, fourth, and fifth there last week, so showing some speed there at New Hampshire, getting some good finishes there in the top five as well. But as we said, a lot to talk about when it comes to silly season and moves going around the NASCAR world, shaking some things up. We'll come back to talk about that here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you. And be sure to check out Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night at 6 there at Coach's Corner with Brandon Bain, as well as go get a great bite to eat, great drinks, entertainment there at Coach's Corner. And Brandon will fill you in on all the big NASCAR news throughout the week and get you ready for the NASCAR weekend every single week there at Coach's Corner. If you can't make it to Coach's Corner, no problem. Be sure to tune in to Coach's Corner Facebook live feed or ESPN Radio Savannah's Facebook live feed every Wednesday night at 6 for Rubbin' and Grubbin' with our guy Brandon Bain. But Brandon talked about some racing there from New Hampshire. Also, some big silly season news over the past few weeks, as well as we kind of saw it coming. Brad Keselowski announced formally as the new part owner of Roush Fenway Racing. He's going to move to the 6 car in 2022. Kind of leaves Ryan Newman the odd man out, right? Well, he was offered a partial schedule with Roush Fenway Racing, but still mulling that over, has not made a decision on that. And of course, the news that Austin Cindric taking over the 2 and Harrison Burton going to the 22, leaving Matt DiBenedetto without a ride for 2022 so far. But Brandon, the big news there, obviously, Brad Keselowski moving to the 6 car, partial ownership there with Roush Fenway Racing.
But no, you know, that was probably the biggest news that we heard, you know, and that we've been waiting on, to see what Brad Keselowski is going to do, and the rumors were spinning around. And, you know, I'm sure it's a big relief not only for him and Penske and, you know, Roush Fenway Racing to kind of get this out in the open and get it done. What a big move it was. I mean, you know, coming over, kind of setting himself into a position where here down the road, you know, he's going to pretty much take over Roush Fenway Racing for Jack Roush. I mean, I think that's a big move. I think that Roush Fenway, it's been some time since they've had the amount of talent that they're getting ready to have over there with Brad Keselowski, you know, a past champion. 34 out of the 35 or 35 out of 36 wins he has all came at Penske in the Ford. And not only that, being a Michigan native as well as Jack Roush being from Michigan, I tell you, I think it's just a really good connection with those two, and knowing that Ford is going to stay dominant, you know, maybe not only through Penske, but maybe seeing that resurrection of Roush Fenway coming back with Keselowski being in that sixth. But as you said, you know, it moves on from that, and Cindric, instead of going to the 21, hops to the 2, and Harrison Burton, to me, was the biggest surprise, taking over the 21. You know, he's not proven, and when you bring these young guys up, you know, from the Xfinity Series and from these lower series, and, you know, a guy like Harrison Burton has had some success there, but not a champion, not the dominance that you would expect to see a guy moving back up into a cup car very quickly. So we're going to have to see what he does once he gets into the big leagues and starts rolling with the big boys, and see if he can put some races together over there for the Woods brothers. But, you know, as you said earlier, the two guys that are kind of at the outside looking in right now are Matt Benedetto and Ryan Newman. You know, both their futures are kind of up in the air, don't really know where they're going or what they're offered. And I know Newman's had a few offers from different places. And Matt Benedetto, you know, if that guy doesn't land a cup ride, it's gonna be interesting to see what he does. Because I tell you what, if there's a guy out there, I think that a name doesn't carry on to be a fan favorite as you see in Elliott or as you see in an Earnhardt. I tell you what, man, Matt Benedetto, I love the guy. I think he's great personality. He's great for the sport. Always cool, calm, and collected. You know, always has a very good attitude and positive outlook on a lot of things. So, you know, hopefully somebody out there decides, you know, this is a guy that doesn't really wreck equipment too much, you know, kind of consistent. Hadn't really went out there. He hadn't got that win on that resume, which I think is probably what hurts him the most. You know, a single win or 20 wins, at the end of the day, you've proven you can win. So I think that's hurting him the most right now. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting in the future to see where all this leads. And from everything I've read, you know, Jack Roush, I mean, Keselowski's going to take over the reins when he decides to, you know, kind of retire and take a step back from it. But, you know, they were looking at, you know, a little bit further down the road, you know, Keselowski driving for some years, and Roush said, you know, it might be 10 years. But I tell you what, whenever they do finally to do the swap, man, Keselowski, I think, is definitely going to lead that Roush Fenway Racing camp into a better direction at the end of the day, regardless how long he's there, regardless how long it takes him to get the full reins of it. But that much talent coming back over, it might take a year, but he's definitely going to get him back on the right track for sure.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Very excited about this move, honestly. I think Brad Keselowski, a very good owner. He's proved that in the past with his truck series, trucks and how competitive they were, and just how good of a job that they did. And of course, with the job he's done there at Penske as well, over his time in the Blue Deuce and just making every team he's been a part of better. I think Brad going to do the same thing with Roush Fenway Racing and ultimately take over, yeah, when Jack Roush hangs up the hat there, so to speak. But also an amicable split there by Team Penske and Brad Keselowski as well. Roger Penske saying it became more evident with conversations with Brad. He was interested in being a part owner and said that just with the way Team Penske is set up, that was not an option. So kind of at that point, they knew it was going to sever, but still a ton of respect for each other and all good things and feelings between those two, as it should be. I mean, the championships, the race wins, everything they've done together, Team Penske and Brad Keselowski, don't think they have any bad blood, don't think they should have any bad blood moving forward. But Brad Keselowski, yeah, can't wait to see what he does in the six. And Brandon, that kind of leaves some question marks for sure, as we've seen some other news here and there, and apparently no talks have been had with Matt Benedetto, even though he's confident he'll be in a car, in a cup car in 2022. Kurt Busch has had conversations here and there, but he's kind of still up in the air about what he's doing also. Well, we've had some history of picking what's going to happen and ending up being right on the show. Do you have any ideas or guesses on where those two, Matt Benedetto and Kurt Busch, could end up here in 2022?
I really hadn't even thought about it, PJ. That's a pretty good one, man. But you know, if you just kind of look at it and look at where, you know, some of these dominoes could fall and where these guys could land, I think a lot depends on what we see happen, if not before the end of this season, you know, just in the off season coming up. You know, does 2311 open up a second car? Does you know, Trackhouse bring in another car? I mean, that is going to open up some opportunities. You know, and another big thing there again is over at Ganassi. You know, what are we going to do at Ganassi? You know, when all this is said and done with Trackhouse taking over that, and you know, I mean, and what are we going to do? You know, so you know, if Kurt Busch doesn't stay there at Trackhouse in that car, and let's say he ends up going to 23-11, you know, which is a possibility. I think that'd be huge, but you could also see a driver swap, I think, between those two guys. You know, I think you could see Matt Benedetto coming over, you know, and getting into the one or taking that number over, or whichever they do for Ganassi, and you might see Kurt Busch go over to Wood Brothers or, you know, over to, you know, 23-11. I think it's going to depend on where one of those guys go to see where the other one goes, but when you're talking about talent and guys, especially for a new race team or a new team or a new driver over at a team in general, I think we've kind of seen the pinnacle of Kurt Busch in a way. You know, he's kind of grown into his own. He was at Penske for a while. You know, he's drove for some pretty big organizations there again, drove for Roush early in the career. So I think it just depends on what happens. But right now, if I had to pin it down, I really think you're going to see that 21. You're going to see Matt Benedetto move over to Ganassi or Trackhouse now. I think they'll keep Ross Chastain there, and I'm pretty sure they're going to also hang on to Daniel Suarez. I mean, he's had a pretty remarkable season for them being that first year of you know, that ownership of Trackhouse coming in. So I don't think you're going to see either two of those guys go anywhere. But I think you might see Benedetto hop over into the one. And if 23-11 or one of these other teams, you know, open up or something becomes available, you might see Kurt Busch in there. But between the two, if you're asking who's definitely going to have a seat, man, for sure, definitely going to be Kurt Busch. You know, past champion, the amount of wins there again, as we alluded to earlier and talked about. So it's going to be interesting, but I would say, you know, if Kurt Busch does not stay at Ganassi, it's going to be because 23-11 opens another car. He'll go help them get that program rolling. And then you could possibly see, like I said, Matt Benedetto slide over to Ganassi. So just going to have to see how all that plays out, man, and see what happens, you know, from here to the end of the season and see what happens in the couple months that we have off and go from there. You know, it's just right now, I don't think there's anything kind of written in stone about these two guys, and then you throw a guy like Ryan Newman in the mix, you know, another very experienced race car driver. So you have a lot of these guys that's in the later half of their career, and they might not go out and, you know, contend every single week like they did at certain points in their career. They might not, you know, be contending for championships as they've done. But I tell you what, man, I mean, you know, there's a lot of talent out there with these veteran guys, and to bring a young guy up into equipment that hadn't been in yet, hadn't got his feet wet, and hadn't even logged laps in these cup cars, and especially coming into a brand new gen car that nobody has very much lap time or, you know, seat time in, and especially experience racing. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword there. Do you take the chance to bring a young guy in and into a new piece of equipment and a new car and hope that he grows with that generation of car and is able to come in and have a knack for it? Or do you find a veteran guy that's went through multiple generations and styles of cars, and that has seemed to, if not have success, just be very consistent in them? So I think it just depends on there again, a lot of outlying factors. But at the end of the day, it's going to get done one way or another, and we're gonna have to wait a little while to find out where these guys go. But you know, let's not forget there again, Kurt Busch is in these playoffs. You know, he came out and won that second race there at Atlanta, beating out Kyle Busch. So you know, I can possibly say if this guy has a really good strong run into these playoffs, finish say in the top eight, or even makes the final four, you know, if he goes out and gets a win and that happens, I can't see you know, Ganassi Trackhouse letting a guy go like that, you know, with the amount of success that he's had, and on top of that the sponsorship that he carries in Monster. So I think that's going to have a big part to play, as well as the sponsorship, who's willing to move around with what driver. So just going to have to wait and see, man. But if I'm going to lock something down and stone right now, I say Matt Benedetto either goes to the one or goes to another open new car there again, maybe 2311. And if Ganassi does decide to let Kurt Busch go or Trackhouse let him go, you're definitely possibly going to see him slide over there again to 2311 too. But just got to wait and see if that's the move they make and what they do.
Man, yeah, we'll have to see, waiting for that first shoe to drop. I have to agree, though, Kurt Busch certainly not done racing, and he might be the first one to sign that deal, and Matt DiBenedetto might be the one who follows after that. We'll have to see, though, how things shake out in silly season as the regular season moves on. But we'll come back, talk about Watkins Glen as NASCAR gets back on the racetrack here soon. Talk about that here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. Welcome back. It's Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you. Be sure to check out Brandon Bain every Wednesday night at 6 at Coach's Corner for Rubbin' and Grubbin' as he gets you ready for the NASCAR weekend every single week. If you can't make it, be sure to tune in on the Coach's Corner or ESPN Radio Savannah's Facebook live feed page every Wednesday at 6 for Rubbin' and Grubbin'. But Brandon, we're back to NASCAR racing soon with Watkins Glen. We're back to road course racing there as well. Who should we be looking out for at Watkins Glen when NASCAR gets back on the track?
Yeah, I'm ready to get back, man. I love the Glen. It's a very fast road course, man, and I tell you what, it's a staple of NASCAR. It's been around forever, man, so one of my favorite road courses. But before we get into that, I just want to give a big happy birthday shout out to my mother-in-law, Miss Shauna Lewis. It's her birthday today, man, so I doubt that she's going to be listening today, but at the end of the day, I wanted to give her a shout out, and a big shout out to John and Adele Henderson up there at Coach's Corner and all their partners as well. Been doing some fundraising up there, and I tell you what, it's just amazing what people in this community are willing to do for each other when a tragedy strikes a family. So big shout out to everybody listening and there at Coach's as well. But getting into this top five, man, I tell you what, I mean, if anybody ever listens to Green White Checkered or Rubbin' and Grubbin', anytime we come to a road course, I mean, you know who I'm taking first, man. I've got to take my guy Chase Elliott, man. Just, you know, the new road course king, man. Dominant, and I think by the time it's all said and done, he's going to be the winningest driver on road courses in NASCAR history. I mean, especially with how many we have added to the schedule, we'll have to see if they maintain that many. But I tell you what, man, you got a couple more here coming up. You got the Glen, and then you got you know, the Indy. So I tell you what, man, Chase Elliott's got to go first on my list for sure, coming to Watkins Glen. Second for me is going to be a guy who we saw, you know, kind of get taken out a little bit early in that race there at New Hampshire, and that's going to be Kyle Busch, man. I feel like the momentum that he's built over the last, you know, 2 months, and the consistency and the finishes he has and the wins that he's gotten. I tell you, you know, we talk about it all the time. Might not be your cup of tea as a personality, but as a race car driver, man, you can never doubt that talent. And you give him an inch, and he's going to take 500 miles, and we've seen it happen. So, you know, look out for Kyle Busch heating up as we get into these playoffs. Three for me. Another Hendrick car there, man. I mean, Kyle Larson has shown his talent, what he's been able to do here at these road courses. And on top of that, you know, Hendrick Motorsports, I mean, it has definitely upped their game. Now, it's going to be interesting to see after this Olympic break and these couple weeks off and what we saw at New Hampshire, you know, kind of come in. And a lot of folks are talking, you know, did Penske catch up? Did Ford catch up? Well, you know, Chevy had only won two out of the last 14 races at New Hampshire. It's always been a Ford-dominant track or a Toyota even. So no surprise there for me. I thought they ran pretty decent for what they were bringing. But I tell you what, as we get into these other tracks, you're going to have to keep an eye out to see if Hendrick is kind of, you know, if everybody else is caught up to what they were doing in that Hendrick camp. But, you know, moving on, four for me, another guy who there again doesn't have a lot of road course wins in his resume and in his career, but, you know, a guy that can definitely go out and get it done and hasn't got it done yet this year. But I think you got to look at the 11. To Denny Hamlin. You know, I know and I have a feeling in my mind that he knows that it's about time to go out and get one of these done. And granted, we are going back to Daytona, you know, probably his best restrictor plate race, if not the best racetrack he races at. You know, going back to somewhere where we see him contend, you know, every single race over the last 4 or 5 years, he's up front pretty much ready to, you know, make the move to try to get the checkered. So Denny Hamlin, another guy there at Watkins Glen, I think can go out and get it done. And five for me is a guy that that I tell you, he showed a lot of promise here at New Hampshire, went through a lot of turmoil, went down a couple laps, came back to finish right there in the top five, and that's going to be Joey Logano. You know, he was quiet there through a good middle part of this season so far, didn't hear a lot of big things, couple, you know, bad runs, but just lower consistency, you know, 12, 13, 14, 9, not the stuff we're used to seeing the 22 and Logano go out and do over there at Penske and getting these wins, but I think they're coming into their own as well. And then a dark horse guy, we saw him a couple different times, couple different road courses, man. You know, I think you got to look at a guy like Ross Chastain, and at the same time, I think you also got to look at a guy like Christopher Bell. You know, both those guys, you know, had good runs at road courses. Bell obviously got a win there at Daytona road course earlier in the year, and Ross Chastain at, you know, COTA, Circuits of the Americas, man, I tell you what, he was flying. So, you know, just one of those things. We're just going to have to wait and see, you know, how they unload and what happens. But just ready to get back to some racing, man. And thank you, as always, PJ and ESPN, man, for letting me be a part of Green White Checkered. I absolutely enjoy this and love this, man.
Well, Brandon, it's always such a joy to have you on, no doubt. Love looking forward to every single weekend to talking NASCAR with you and start picking these races and covering some of this news. It's a joy every time we get to do the show, and certainly going to be a joy when we get back on the racetrack and have NASCAR out there racing once again as we get closer to the playoffs, especially at Watkins Glen. One of my favorite tracks to watch a race at, no doubt about that. Love the high-speed road course races, and this, no doubt, my favorite road course race of the year. And you talk about my top five, this is this guy's best road course race. The road course king, as you talked about, number one for me, Chase Elliott. The site of his first win and his most dominant road course to date. And when he's not dominating, it's most likely going to be Martin Truex Jr., who's very good there as well. I'll go with Martin Truex Jr., my number two. Number three, when it wasn't those guys before them, it was Kyle Busch. Even Kyle Busch being a part of the craziest finish in Watkins Glen history with Marcus Ambrose and Brad Keselowski, people forget that he was one of the leaders on that final lap, early in the final lap, and got turned into the wall. But Kyle Busch, always been very good at Watkins Glen. Give me him, my number three spot. Kyle Larson sliding down a little bit this week to number four. But hey, those three guys so good at Watkins Glen. Give me Kyle Larson still up there in the top five and racing very well, especially at road courses. Give me Kyle Larson number four, number five. Denny Hamlin, a race winner, a former race winner at Watkins Glen, and has always been very, very good here. And not to be boring, but with my dark horses, you just hit it right on the head, man. Christopher Bell, so good at road courses this year. Second at Road America, first there at Daytona on the Roval. Got to go with him. And Ross Chastain has been sneakily very good at road courses this year as well. But it's been great to be back here with you, and can't wait for these cars to be back on the track at Watkins Glen. For Brandon Bain, I'm PJ Zucco. This has been Green White Checkered every Sunday morning from 9 to 9:30 here on ESPN Radio. Hoping you have a fantastic rest of your week. Stay safe wherever you go, and God bless.